I would invite you today to take your Bible and turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, and verse 14 and 15 is our passage, and my message is prayer that God always answers. Prayer that God always answers. And this is not a message like that, yes, God always answers. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says not now. So that's not, those things are true, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about prayers that we pray that we can be absolutely assured that God answers every time. In other words, granting what we pray. Granting what we pray. So, before we look at our verses, I want to give you the precise context of the verses that we're going to be looking at in verse 14 and 15. When you come to 1 John chapter 5, what you see in the first five verses, you see that he speaks of Christians, and we are those loved by God. We love God, we love one another, we keep his commandments, and we believe in Jesus. And then, verse 6 through 13, he gives nine testimonies, or uses the word testimony, or we sometimes translate it witness. He uses that nine times in verse 6 through 13. So it is about knowing that Jesus is the Son of God and that he's the Savior. So the people in verse 1 through 5 can know that the one they've trusted, Jesus, is the Son of God and the Savior. And in verse 6 and 8, he says that there's a witness of the water, which is baptism, the blood, which is the cross, and then the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, the cross, and the baptism of Christ witness that he is the Savior. Now I want you to see how sure this is, and he sums that up in verse 13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that, remember that's the purpose clause, why did I write them? He says, so that you may know that you have eternal life. He said, I have written these things, and I've laid them out so that you can know. So it's not a hope-so salvation. It's not a wondering if we have salvation. It is an absolutely knowable salvation. And there is the testimony of the three that we've said, but notice in verse 10, there is this inward testimony of salvation. And that's what he's really focusing on. We can know that we are saved inwardly, not because we are able to keep every command, not because we don't fail, but listen to this. When God saves you and comes into your life, it is a knowable salvation. So whether it's you or me, I can know that I am saved because of what God has done internally in me. I cannot prove to anyone else that Jesus exists, Jesus is real, and I am a Christian by what happened in me, and yet I cannot deny that I am a Christian because of that reality in me. And so that's what he's talking about. So it is, we can know that we're saved. So there is an absolute assurance about that. That leads you into the thing that follows salvation, and that is talking about prayer. So this point is, I want to talk to you about the promise of answered prayer. With the same assurance we can know that we're saved, in which sets the context for what we're talking about, we can also know that our prayers are answered with that same kind of assurance. It is a no-so based upon the Scripture. So read with me verse 14 and 15. This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know, you see the word know there? If we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. Now, I don't think it can be any more clear, but let me point out something. When he said, we know he hears us, it's not being used in the sense of that he's aware of it. He's aware of everything, but it's being used here often means a favorable answer. For example, in John chapter 9, verse 31, he says, he doesn't hear the prayers of the sinner, but of the God-fearing, he does, see. He hears them. It has a favorable answer. In John chapter 11, verse 41 through 42, at the raising of Lazarus, Jesus said, and I am glad that you heard me. Thank you that you heard me. See, God wasn't just aware of Jesus' prayer, but he had a favorable answer for it. So in the way that we can know with absolute assurance that we are saved, God wants us to have that same absolute assurance of knowing that when we ask something, when we make a request that is in his will, he hears us, meaning he gives a favorable answer, meaning that he gives us what we have requested. Now, there are other verses that people bring in on this, and rightly so. For example, if we ask in his name, John chapter 14, verse 13 through 14, if we keep his commandments, which we find right here in 1 John 5, 2, if we ask in faith, Mark 11, 24, meaning you can't ask and not believe, and then if we abide in him, John 15, 7. Now, let me just summarize what those verses are telling you. They're not a ladder you've got to climb. They're not certain gates you've got to go through. What he's describing in all of that are just people who love him and are his and want to follow him. That's all it is. So if you're a Christian desiring to walk with God, then that is what these verses are referring to. Now that leads me to the third thing. And all of this is about relationally communing with God. And you're going to see how if you understand this, that will intensify and become more intimate in your walk with God as you pray. So the third thing is, and this is where you began to really kind of comprehend what's going on, and that is praying in light of the objective and subjective will of God. Praying in light of the objective and the subjective. So, in other words, when you look at this prayer, if you ask anything according to his will, you have your request. It's not really about whether or not we pray in the will of God to get the request, because that's a given. In other words, if you pray out of the will of God, well, of course you're not going to get it. If you're praying to use it for sin, you're not going to get it. But if you pray in the will of God, you get it. So the question is not, does all prayer that's answered have to be in the will of God? Here's the question we have to answer. What is included, what is comprehended in the prayer of God? The will of God. When we say the will of God, what does that encompass? And so it encompasses his objective will and his subjective. And I'm going to explain these as we go along. Now, in that, in his objective and subjective will, so we're praying in the will of God, he has two kinds of events or two kinds of things that you find throughout the scripture. One of them describes determined events. So God has determined that some things are going to happen, and every Christian in the world could pray against that, and it won't change a thing, not one whit. These things happen without human involvement. God decides them, he determines them, and that's the end of that discussion. But he has also included, and I think the vast majority of the Bible, are what we call conditional. Conditionals. The verse we're looking at is a condition. So here's how it goes. Choose you this day whom you shall serve. God will bless if you choose this. If you don't choose that, he will curse. Here, if you ask, I'll do this. So you see, the condition is we have to ask. And he will do this if we ask. So a conditional has a condition that God has decided. Some things he's determined, other things he has conditioned. And he says, okay, if you ask this, I'll do it. And if you don't ask it, I won't do it. That's implied in it. So the four things I'm giving you here, the two categories together are, there is the objective will of God and the subjective will of God. And then there are things that are determined and things that are conditional. So let's walk through it just a moment. First, the objective will. What is the objective will of God? It is the Word of God. The Scripture is the will of God that is objective. And what do we mean by objective? We mean it is for everyone, everywhere, every when. It is for everybody. There are no Christians that are not supposed to be doing what's in the Word of God. So that's the objective will of God. What is the subjective will of God? You can put the word personal. The subjective will of God is what he may do in your life or this person's life that's very personal, and he's not doing it in somebody else's. So in Bob's life, he wants Bob to work over here, and he wants Joe to work over here. He wants this person to marry this person and this person to marry this person. That's the subjective personal. So by its very nature, it is not like the objective. The objective is for everyone, everywhere, every when. This is not for everyone. And it's not everywhere. And it's not every when. And a matter of fact, the will of God subjectively in your life today could be different than tomorrow. Today, he wants you to talk to this person. Today, he wants you to go over here. Tomorrow, he wants you to do something else, you see. So it's very, very personal. So one of them is for everyone, everywhere, and every when, and one of them is for one person at a particular time and in a particular place. And that can change with that individual. So there are many of these, and we pray this way all the time. It's just a quotidian part of walking with God, is seeking him in these areas. So whom to marry? I mean, we don't all marry the same person, obviously. Or whether or not to get married. There are some that God calls to a life of celibacy. Whether to have children. How many children are we to have? What job are we to work? What house? So you're trying to figure out where God wants you to live. What house? Well, you may look at a dozen. How do you know which one? Well, not everybody's going to buy the same house. You're hoping nobody bids on the house you want. See? So we know it's very, very personal. It may be about what school to attend, what school to send your children to. It may be a sickness you have. Your neighbor doesn't have it, so they're not praying they get better because they don't have it. What mission trip to go on? Where to serve God in what country? What ministry to be involved in? In other words, there are a myriad of these areas that we walk with God in them, and we want to know where God wants us, when God wants us there, doing what God wants us to do. And that's the subjective will of God. Therefore, we should pray recognizing that praying in his will, when we see according to his will, praying in his will, asking, and if it's in his will, when we see that, we have to understand that it comprehends, it includes his objective will, that which is laid out in Scripture for everyone, and his subjective will. In other words, when I'm praying about what God wants me to do tomorrow, I need to be praying about the will of God that he has for me. I know that it's this. But I don't know every detail about tomorrow that would be very specific for me that's not revealed in Scripture. So one of the ways you can know subjective, when you're talking about the subjective or personal, It's not for everyone, it's not for everywhere, and it's not for all the time, and it may not even be all the time for you. It may be one thing today and another tomorrow. But another way you can know it is not revealed in the Scripture. The objective is revealed, but then we do have implications from the objective. We have explicit Scripture, implicit Scripture that we draw implications from these explicit Scriptures, and then we have principles. But some things, you can look at all the principles, but you still don't know between three jobs which one God wants you to have. So we pray in the will of God would include things in Scripture, but things that are also personal. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. So how do we get things in the subjective? We're praying about everything. And the Bible doesn't cover everything. It doesn't cover everything. It doesn't tell you whether to buy this car or that car. And so we're to be praying about everything. Now, I want to tell you what I think everything means. I think everything means everything. So everything is everything. And if you're doing something so small as painting this or trying to find this, that's an everything. So there's some things small, some things medium, some things great, gargantuan, but they're all an everything. So we pray for all things. That certainly includes the conditionals in Scripture, like we have here. If you ask, I'll do it. But it would also include the conditionals in the subjective will of God. So some things that we would pray in the subjective will, Lord, I just lift this up and I pray for this, I request I get better, or whatever it may be. We are to pray that because that's an everything, you see, regardless how small or big it is. Now, that brings me to the fourth thing, and that is praying conditionals in the objective will of God. So now we're talking about in the Bible, which is the objective will of God, and praying conditionals. So these are laid out in the Scripture. And I would say to you this, we're not talking about something rare. If you took the Scripture, and I'm going to surmise this, but if you took the Scripture and you noted how many things are conditional, where God says, so like it begins, if you eat of that tree, you die. Don't eat of it. That's a conditional. Don't eat of it. You have a choice to eat of it or not. If you don't eat of it, you'll be blessed. Look what all you have. If you eat of it, you die. That's a conditional. When Joshua said, choose you this day whom you shall serve, the Israelites had rebelled against God. And he said, are you going to keep messing with these idols or the idols that your father messed with, which were different, or are you going to turn to God? They had three options. And they had a choice, and those options carried blessings. So he said, we've already chosen. My house, we've chosen. We know what we're going to do. So every conditional has, God will do something based on what we choose or what we do at that time. So, for example, if you think about conditionals, it is always true. If you ask or choose, God will do something based on that. Conversely, if you do not ask, He will not answer. In other words, make your request known. If you don't make your request known, He's not going to answer because there are no requests to answer, see? Or if you choose this, He blesses, and if you choose this, He curses. He judges. So Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. Now that context of that is personal relationships and our daily life. when we walk through the intercourse of the most normal day, we are moving in and out of a web of relationships. How those go, how we treat people, how they treat, whether difficulties are resolved, all of these things are encompassed in that. And then let me say that ask, seek, and knock are present tense verbs. So this isn't just ask one time, seek one time, knock one time, and God will take care of all your relationships. No, it's as you're going in and out of this, you are asking, you're seeking, you're knocking. So there is a persistency that can be involved in that, but also there's a regularity to it. So I'm going to be dealing with this person. Lord, I just pray that you help me to handle that right. I pray that you could resolve. And then you're going to turn over here. Help me treat this person like creating the image of God. And then you're going to turn over here. Lord, this is a difficult situation. I pray you give me what I need to try to resolve this. You see? But if you don't ask and you don't seek and you don't knock, God doesn't open the door. That's the way that works. He said, if you ask and seek and knock, the door will open. God will deal with that. But if you don't do that, God made it a conditional, he won't do anything. So we go in on our own strength. We go in without the Holy Spirit. We go in without the Word, without God working in their heart. And in our heart. And so the door doesn't open. Think about for us a very simple one, salvation. Paul says in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now, what if a person doesn't believe, doesn't ask? Do they get saved? No. You see, it's a conditional. Salvation is conditional. Call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. Implicit is, don't call on him and you will not be saved. So there again is a conditional. The very nature of conditionals, the very essence of a conditional, is God has set it up. If we do this, he will do that. That is the very nature of a conditional. And if we do not do this, he will not do what he says. So, we're praying in his will. And when we're praying in his will, that includes making our request known. You say, how do you know that? Well, it's right there in our verse. Make your request known. So, it is always the will of God that we make our request known. And that is in his objective will, as we're looking at. He has made certain things in his objective will that if we ask, he'll do them, and if we don't, he will not do them. He will not answer. If we act this way, he will judge or not do anything, and if we act this way, he will bless. The Bible is full of them. They pervade the Word of God. So here's what I want you to really grasp out of what we're seeing in this. The will of God is not static. Because don't we find ourselves sometimes, we make a few requests, and then we say, but your will be done, as though it's static. It's already settled. But I did this because you said. But it's not static. There are some things that are determined, but a lot of them are very much in a state of fluidity because God designed it that way. So, Ronnie, if you ask, I'll do that. If you don't, I won't. You see, that's not a static will of God. It is the will of God that I ask. It is the will of God to do it if I ask and not do it if I do not ask. So you can see that the will of God is not this, always this determined thing that we are just bowing to in the sense of nothing's going to be different if we ask. We are bowing because he said ask, you see. So, if we pray, your will be done, without making our requests known, what we've actually prayed is this, as far as conditionals are concerned. Lord, I pray that you do not do what my heart desires. That's what you're praying. Because his will is, if it's a conditional, if you ask it, I'll do it. And if you don't, I will not. So if you just think you're cutting to the chase, and you'll just say, well, I just pray the will of God be done, and you didn't make your request known, what you're telling God is, God, go ahead and don't do what I was going to ask you. But I didn't take the time. I didn't believe you enough. And you see, sometimes we think that person is more spiritual when they say, well, you know, I just pray thy will be done. No, they don't care about the will of God. They're not interested in the will of God. That's not a more spiritual. That's a cop-out. You say, well, how do you know they don't care about the will of God? Because they're not doing the will of God, making their request known. That's the will of God. So if you're not making your request known, to pray, thy will be done, is hollow. It's just because you don't want to spend the time in prayer. So conditionals in his objective will have the absolute assurance that if we ask them, he will do them. Now remember, we're talking about all of the other verses, so these are not gates you're running through. They're not, okay, now wait a minute, I got to get all this stuff in order to be able to do it. It's about the Christian life. We ask it in his name, John 14:13-14. There are other verses on that. But why would you ask anything in anybody else's name, see? Right? And then we keep his commandments. 1 John 3:22. 1 John 5:2. When a Christian is asking and they're not concerned about his word, they're not concerned about living for him, why would they ever think God would answer that? And then we ask in faith, Mark 11:24. Why would God answer if we're going to ask him, we're going to pray, Lord, I pray that you help my child today in this. I don't really believe you will, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. Why would God do that? How dishonoring. And then we abide in him, John 15:7. Where do you abide? Where do you live? I mean, what's your real address? Is it in Christ? Do we have all that we have in Christ? You see, these other things that we bring up often, and rightly so, they're not gates we go through. They're not certain things. Okay, got that. They're just reflective of people who are saved, love God, and want to live for God, which is evidenced by their trying to follow his word. Jesus said, follow me. And in that, we have the absolute assurance that if we're praying something in the will of God, the objective will, he does. What if you pray, what if you're living for God and you're praying for your child about something, I mean about your marriage, which the Bible wants our marriage to be holy and reflective of Christ, do you think God answers that? Yeah. Now, again, the timing and all that's up to him, but I have the absolute assurance if I'm believing him, I'm trusting him. And I'll give you something else about that in just a moment. So, James 1:5 says this, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously, notice generously, notice he gives to all, and without reproach, and it will be given to him. There is another categorical absolute. You ask, he gives it, period. How many people does he give it to? All. And all there are the believers who are living for him, see? So you ask, doesn't matter who you are, if you're living for him, he gives it, period. It is an absolute. Now, the verbs there are the present tense. Again, like like ask, seek, knock, present tense, either repetitive action or continual action. So here it is the same thing. So you can't pray, Lord, give me wisdom one time in your life and think that you have the wisdom of God in dealing with every situation. Because to pray and to ask for God's wisdom doesn't make you God. God has wisdom all the time. His wisdom. He doesn't have to ask because it's innate in him. But our prayer for wisdom doesn't make us God. It reveals God through us. We experience him, but we grow also in our dependence upon him. So we're praying and we're going into this situation and we just don't know how to deal with it. Lord, I pray you give me wisdom. I have to get on to my child. I pray you give me wisdom and how to handle that. I'm going to do this with my mate today. I pray you give me wisdom. I have a job situation. I pray you give me wisdom. Lord, I'm getting ready to make a phone call. I pray for your wisdom. But here's what, if you ask him, you have a guarantee. That is a prayer that God always answers. Conversely, you're going to go deal with your child. You're trying to resolve something with your spouse. You have an issue at work and you don't pray for wisdom. Great. You don't have God's wisdom. You have yours and I'm not very impressed with our wisdom. You don't have God's wisdom. You have it when you ask, and when you don't, you don't. You see, conditionals, and I keep saying that if we do this, God does this. If we don't do this, then God doesn't. And that's just common sense, because what if he was going to give you wisdom, whether you ask or not, then why say ask? It has no point. So the point is, God, in his relationship with us, wants to do this and that, but we have to ask. So, if you ask to be saved, will God do that, that conditional? Yes. If you ask for wisdom, will he do that? Yes. Will the door be opened if we seek, if we ask, we knock in a relationship? Yes. So, that brings us to the fifth thing, and that is praying conditionals in the subjective will of God, in the subjective. So, now we just talked about praying in the objective, but as we've said, praying in the will of God also includes the subjective, which is personal to us. It's what God wants to do in us now, at this time, in this place, that may not even carry through at other times. So we pray the scriptures, we pray the will of God, but there are many things the scripture doesn't explicitly tell us, and that's the subjective will of God. So we literally pray daily, if we're praying people, of countless things that are not explicitly told about in the scripture. So a job, health problem, what house to buy, what school to go to, ministry selection. I'm praying about helping this person or this person, but I don't have the resources to help both. Maybe I need to pray, Lord, help me to have enough to help both. But right now I can just say I can pray one. So which one is that, Lord? Financing of something. I pray about that, Lord. So those are in the subjective will of God and could be conditionals. So look back at our verse. He says, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, meaning he answers favorably, see? He's not just aware we're asking. We know we have the request which we've asked him. We have them. That includes his objective will, and it includes his subjective will. It includes those things that are very personal that are conditionals, whether they're in the objective will of God or the subjective will of God. You say, well, how do you know the conditionals? Well, look, when you look at the objective will of God, what you find are things that are determined. And no prayer changes that. Actually, in determined things, human choice is not a factor. But in the conditionals, human choice is a factor. And so we know them because they're laid out in Scripture, but we know those two things exist. So that's the pattern for the subjective will of God. The pattern would be, we find things determined in here, we should conclude in the subjective will of God, there are determined things. We find things that are objective in here, are conditional, we should conclude that in the subjective will of God, we would find things that are conditional. And maybe proportionately, and if that's the case, in the things that are related to our life, there are a myriad of conditional things. So, that means we can pray for things that are not explicitly laid out in Scripture, but are a part of God's subjective will, and if they're conditional, we can know that God answers those prayers. So we could be praying about a particular health issue, a family issue, a friend, learning about something, and knowing that God is aware of that, He answers favorably. So let me give you an example. There's no verse in the Bible about the coronavirus. And yet, that's a cloud hanging over all of our lives, affecting everything we're doing and not doing. Now, the Bible does speak about plagues and things like that, so they're general, but there's nothing about this specific virus. But in the subjective will of God, what are we doing? Well, we're praying all the time about it. And did you know, if you were just to think about it, there's a million components to our prayers about this. I mean, we know some obvious for people who've been infected, for people not to be infected, that God would make it go away, that we would learn what we need spiritually, that God would protect health care, that God would protect our church family, and on the list goes. So that's the subjective. We don't have a verse, pray this about the coronavirus. But God could determine that we have the coronavirus. It wasn't just something that happened because of the consequence of sin or the free will of man. God could have determined. I don't know. I have no idea. And I can't speak one way or the other. But it could also be that God didn't determine it's the consequence of free will. It could also be that God determines it to last X amount of days. It can also be that God said, okay, well, that's a conditional. And if my people ask this and this and this, I'll do this and this and this. Even in our church, even in our own families, even in your own individual life. So I look on the internet and somebody will say that they're one of their family members got the coronavirus, and I just pray for them because I don't know if that's a conditional or not. But it may very well be. I don't know what's determined and what's conditional in the subjective like I do in the objective. So I pray. So conditional is if you ask, I will do it, and if you do not ask, I will not do it. Conditionals remind us that we can know absolutely that some events, some things will turn out different if we pray than if we do not pray. We can know that absolutely. If I don't pray about something that God made a conditional, then it will turn out, it would have turned out different had I prayed than it will than if I don't pray. So don't say, well, I hope it gets better. Where'd God promise to answer hope? Well, I wish you the best. Why? Why are we wishing and hoping when God has promised absolutely there are prayers that He always, always answers? Now, here's what I say and what I try to practice. I haven't arrived, so don't you think that for a moment. But this is the quest of my life. This is what I think about regarding prayer. And that is, if I think about it, I pray about it. I don't pray about what I don't think about. Obvious reasons, right? And it's okay to have a prayer list, but I mean, how many things are you going to put on a list? Let me tell you something. What I pray about in the course of a day, I can't keep on a list. Because they're very small things, and they're very big things, and they're very middle things. But believing that there are conditionals keeps me praying. So if it comes to my mind, I don't just, if I say, well, I'll have that meeting tomorrow, so I wonder how that's going to go, and I need to do this. Well, that may be a part of it, but then I'm going to say, Lord, help me with that meeting. So, Lord, I have to go to the grocery store. I don't want to get infected. You see what I'm saying? So I got to go to the grocery store. I got to do, I don't want to. So I told him I didn't want to, but I didn't ask him to protect me. So, Lord, would you protect me when I'm there? Would you help me if I have it, I don't get it? See, so what this shows us is that some things will be different if we pray than if we don't pray. And we shouldn't wish and hope, we should pray. And if we think about it, it might be worth praying about just because we thought about it, unless it's some kind of, you know, wanting God to do something evil. But it also might be the Holy Spirit prompting us to pray, because the Holy Spirit knows every conditional, every one of them. So if you're a follower of Christ, you're trying to live for God, keep the commandments of God, you want to do the will of God, you want to know God, maybe it came to your mind by the prompting of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit wants God to work in your life, see? So I don't know the answers to those, but I do know there are conditionals, and I do know that if I pray, some things will be different. Now, when we're talking about the subjective will of God, it is always going to be consonant or consistent with the objective will of God. So they're not going to be something that you're going to be praying about that will be contrary to His Word. And this is one of the reasons that we have to know the Word. Number six, so our sixth point in this. Conditionals and determine events in the will of God. So we've already mentioned there are both. So in the objective will of God, there are some things that are conditional, our verse, and the others I've given you, but there are myriad of them throughout the Scripture. But some things in the Scripture are determined. God determined them. And when we talk about an determined event, we're talking about an event in which human action and choice plays no part in making that event happen or not happen. So let me give you some examples. Creation. Did we have anything to do with that? No. God chose the Jews. Did you and I have anything? The Jews didn't even have anything to do with it. God just did it. What about the second coming of Christ? Did we help set that up, or do we know the time? Could we affect the time? No, it's all determined. God has set it up and not allowed it to be a conditional. What about people being saved by faith? Did we figure that out? No, God just chose. Faith is what I'm going to condition everything on. So that you're saved if you believe, that's the conditional personally. But God determined what would be the condition, see? And He didn't talk to us about it. There will be a time called the tribulation. It's going to be 7 years. All kinds of things are going to happen. But God determined when it will happen, how long it will happen, and what is the ultimate purpose. So there are things in the Bible that are determined, and we shouldn't waste our time praying about them in the sense of thinking we're going to affect them or we're going to change the end or how it goes and so forth. So we should expect, because we find determined things in the objective, remember that's our pattern, conditional and objective, we should expect in the subjective some things are determined. But here's the thing. We know what they are in the Scripture, basically, but in the subjective, I don't know. So I don't know if it's God's will for me to get this job. I don't know if He's determined that I won't get the job. Or He determined that I would get the job. Or He determined that there was a better job if I asked. See, I don't know all of that. But I do know this. Some things are determined and some things are conditional. So in the subjective, we cannot know these things like we can in the objective, where we know the conditional and the determined. We don't know what each of them are. We learn what's conditional by praying, and if God answers it, oh, that was a conditional. And what we begin to learn is there's a lot of conditionals. So what this does for you, beloved, see, I'm not speaking on name it and claim it. That is an aberrant perspective on the conditionals of Scripture, because it has in it that we determine, see, because God's made some things conditional, we just make them all conditional. But that's not what we're saying. What we're saying is, just like you can't pray to change the day of the second coming, you can pray in the objective will of God that if you need wisdom, you can get it. There are these things. God determined them. And the subjective, the same thing, but we don't know what they are, so we pray about all things. But we don't know what's determined. That's God. So I may pray about something and pray about it and pray about it, and it doesn't happen. It may be that God determined, Ronnie, it doesn't matter. I determined that, and your prayers are not going to change it. You see, He's the sovereign God. And I'll show you how that fits with thy will be done in a moment. So you pray for it. It could be determined. It could be that God determined He did not want you to have that job, even though it really looked great to you. But if it's a conditional and you didn't pray, then God had an answer that would be different than the way it turned out. You see, we're walking humbly before God because we don't know these things, but we know one thing. He answers some prayers absolutely that He has made conditional. So you pray, you make your requests known, because with conditionals, both biblical and personal for the individual, they are conditioned upon us asking. Therefore, we know that some things, some events, will be different if we pray than if we do not pray. And I fear that many of us are going to get to heaven and we're going to find out how much God would have done in our life if we would have prayed and trusted Him in that. So subjective, we don't know these things that are conditional. We don't know the things that are determined. I don't try to figure those out because I can't know. But I can know that God answers conditionals, and I have to pray, and then He'll do it. Now, so how do you handle all this? Well, we do what the Scripture says. We pray at all times, Ephesians 6:18. Without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. For all things, Philippians 4:6. And let me just reverse those. If you pray for all things, you pray about everything, you want me to tell you how long you're going to pray? You're going to pray all the time. Now, that doesn't mean you're in the prayer closet or you're down on your knees or you're in some intent. It means that walking through the daily life, Lord, I'm going to do that. I pray, Lord, that You would help over there. I pray for this relationship. Lord, I pray for my child today at school. Lord, I pray for my husband. I pray for my wife. I pray for my health. Because it's coming to your mind, you're thinking of it, you're going to think of it and pray. And it just becomes such a part of your life that you're in a conversation and they brought up something and you walk away and you pray about it right then. You see something and you just pray. Because it becomes such a part of your life. So praying without ceasing and praying all the time, it, for many, many years, more than I want to talk about, I just thought, man, whew, that's a heavy burden. And then I knew people who did pray a lot. But once you understand of praying about everything, the little thing and the big thing, you end up praying all the time. And it's not a burden at all. It's like breathing. I want you to breathe all the time. It's not a burden. It's our life. See? Well, the same is true here. Let me give you just an example. So Debbie, fictitious person, Debbie lives in the South, and she needs a car. Hers is, got killed in a crash. So she needs a car. So she begins to pray to God for a car. Now, it could be a conditional that God was waiting on Debbie to pray. It could be determined. God could determine, I'm not going to give Debbie a car at this time. Or, I'm not going to give Debbie the car she's praying for. Or, you know, He could decide in His purpose of advancing the kingdom and all of this, that I'm not going to give Debbie a car. I have determined that she will not have a car. We don't know all the reason, he just determined that. But more probably is that Debbie, because of going back and forth to work and doing other things and where she lives, she needs a car. So it's more probable it's a conditional, but we don't know that for sure. So she prays, but is it a new car or is it a used car? Is it this car or that car? Is she going to have payments or not have payments? See, sometimes we pray, Lord, we need a car, but we don't tell him which one. Or we don't tell him that we don't want payments. Or we don't. Now, I'm not saying all those things happen. I'm saying you have to think about all the things that are could be conditional in that. So it seems like that God may be saying, if Debbie asks, I'll provide her a car. But if she doesn't, I won't. And sometimes when we ask, we say, you know, and I asked for this, but I really didn't have to have it, but God provided more than I asked. See? So you have all of these things going on. So the pattern for conditionals in the subjective will would be the same as in the objective will. And again, whether it's new, used, whether we pay for it, et cetera, et cetera. And you could, by the way, be praying that for this car, but God knows that's not the best car for you. And it may be a process. So because I don't know what's conditional in the subjective will of God, we should pray about everything. So you pray about everything, and if you do that, you will pray all the time. The minor and the major. So if I laid something down and I think, I don't remember where I laid that down, and I turn around to go look for it, I say, Lord, would you help me find that? That's a very minor thing. But what you begin to see is that God does a lot of things in our life when we ask. So I pray that you can see when you are praying about all things, which means that you pray all the time, how that intensifies your intimate relationship with God, because you are talking to God about everything. The most minor thing and the most major and gargantuan and Brobdingnagian thing in your life. You are telling God more than you tell anybody else. You're talking to Him about things that you can't even remember at the end of the day to put on a prayer list. So when we have a great relationship with somebody, part of that is what? We talk. The greatest relationship will be with God because we're talking all the time. All the time. It grows intimate. So it's not just about getting something. It's about getting to know God. Our children to get into a school. So we pray, Lord, can they get into this school? Then what about the financing of the school? What about if you have the finances, thanking God? When they get into school, would you like them to be around certain people? Why don't you pray for good friends? What about if there's an option or two or three teachers? Why don't you pray about the teacher? You see how many variables there can be? I don't know if the teacher's a conditional or not, but it sure is important to your child's life, and it's worth praying about. Maybe it's your health. We ought to always pray, Lord, I pray you'd heal me. Why would we step over that to, Lord, I pray you'd give me a medicine that only has 50 side effects over the next 30 years. Lord, I just pray you'd take this away. I have no doubts that he can, and I have no doubts that he does it. But it may be that this is something he's going to treat. It's going to be something else. There can be all kinds of things involved in this. Some of the weaknesses you have and the physical ailments you deal with, when you try to talk to somebody else and witness to somebody else, you have an immediate bond with them. Sometimes the bad in your life connects them. So I grew up in an alcoholic home, and sometimes I can talk to somebody and they say, yeah, well, my dad was an alcoholic. We immediately have a connection. Or if you have some kind of physical ailment. But if you were in perfect health, you never had anything bad, nothing, you can't identify with anybody. And so God can use those things, and we have to see that. So We ask God to work, and if it's a conditional, we have His absolute promise He will. So conditionals are not just about asking. So you mean God's made all these things that we have to ask? It just seems like a lot of trouble. Well, you know what? Relationships are kind of a lot of trouble, aren't they? You have to really, what do we say? You have to work at them. You have to pour something into them. So God's poured everything into this relationship with us. And so it's about having a relationship. How can you have a relationship with someone that you never talked to? So spiritual, we all want to know and honor Him, right? But sometimes, well, I just want what I want to honor God. But sometimes when you want something and you'll benefit from it, or your family or your child or a friend, that doesn't mean it's in conflict with honoring God. Not at all. And we shouldn't look at it that way. And then seventh is the last thing on this, and that is thy will be done. Conditionals remind us that the will of God is not static. They remind us that some things we will receive if we ask, and we will not receive if we don't ask. Then we're reminded that some things are determined, and only God knows that. They're revealed in the Scripture, but there are many things that He may have determined in our personal lives and in the world that are not revealed in the Scripture, because the Scripture doesn't cover every variable or every scenario that passes through the day or someone's life. So again, if you come and you put thy will be done on the beginning of your prayer, that doesn't make you spiritual, it makes you unspiritual. It doesn't mean that you want the will of God, because you don't, because His will is that we make these requests known. Even if you say thy will be done, I mean, it's just all you're doing in prayer. You're not asking anything, just thy will be done, and you're doing it worshipfully. It's hollow. If you love me, you'll keep my commands. And He commands us to ask. So it's a very spiritual thing, very honoring and glorifying to God that we ask. And by the way, it's a very humbling thing, is it not? That we're so utterly dependent on Him that we ask about everything. So thy will be done should never become at the beginning of a prayer, because it's His will that we make our requests known. It is at the end, Philippians 4:6, let your requests be made known to God. Make your requests, then bring those things. James 4:2 says, you do not have because you don't ask. I mean, do you want it to get any more clear than that? I don't know why God's not. Did you ask Him? Well, no, I didn't. Oh. James says, and then sometimes you ask and you want to use it for immoral things. So we got to get that straight, see? So you can pray about all of these things. We're aware that some are determined, some are not, but we know one thing, God answers things. And so, in everything by prayer, let your request be known. And once we've done that, we say, your will be done. We made a request. And what your will be done, I'll give you three things why you do it and why you do it at the end that is not this rote, passive action. But it's really the crux of it all. But it doesn't bypass making the request known. So your will be done involves these three things, maybe more, but at least these. First, we desire God's will because it glorifies Him, is best for us, and advances the kingdom. And best for us may not seem like at the time, may not be physically, but in the all, spiritual, when all the facts are known, it will glorify God, be best for us, and advance the kingdom. So, you see, we've made a request known. We've told Him what we're wanting for us, what we're wanting of our part in the ministry, what we're wanting for this, but we're coming to the end and we're saying, but Lord, all those things, I did them and I said them believing You, and I put them before You, and I say, but Your will be done because I trust You. And I don't know all the facts, Lord. I think I do. I prayed the best I know, but I don't know them. So, Lord, if I ask for something, and by the way, God can have, so He could say, I will do A, B, C, D in Ronnie's life if he asks. But D is my will, my perfect will. But I'll do A, B, and C because those are comprehended in my will. So Ronnie prays, and he prays for A or B or C. Or maybe I pray A, B, and C. Lord, will you just do one of these three? And I don't end with thy will be done. I'm not trusting him. He says, yeah, I'll do them. I'll give you all three of them, but it's not my best for you. If you would have just ended trusting me more than you trust yourself, I would have given you my best. So you see, we glorify him. It's for his best for us, and it's to advance the kingdom. And I think many times we're praying, comprehended in the will of God, he would allow this and allow this, but this is really his perfect will. And we didn't ask for what's his perfect will. But we do when we say, but Lord, at the end of all of this, there's nothing I want that I said, no matter how I said it, no matter how passionate, more than your will, because I trust you. Second, it is his will that we make our desires and requests known to him. So you have to understand, we are praying in the will of God when we make our requests. Jesus said, if it's possible, let this cup pass. But it wasn't possible. But it was the will of the Father that he pray that. Why? Because it was a request he had. It was his heart as a human. See? So it was the will of God. We make them known. Third, we pray it because the nature of conditionals is that if we do not meet the required condition, we miss out. So we pray your will be done, meaning I want your will. So if you just walk in and say, Lord, just do your will, you need to stop and say, wait a minute, Lord, I don't want you to do your will without me asking. Because your will on the conditional, if I don't ask, is not to do it. So I need the wisdom, Lord. Now will thy will be done. You put them in the right order. So conditionals, there is objective and subjective will of God that has, both of them have conditional and determined. And if it's a conditional in either one of those and we ask, we have absolute assurance that he will do them. There is no doubt about that. We learn what his conditionals are in the subjective by asking, and that's why I'm increased in how many more I think there are, because the more you start praying like this, you start seeing things more, and you begin to realize, wow, I've been overlooking these all these years. So pray about everything all the time, because we do not know what is a conditional and what's not, but we do know the outcome of some things will be different if we pray than if we don't pray. And that leads us into next week when we go into a time of fasting and praying, that we're going to be seeking God about things about this virus. And we need to have a clear understanding of when we're asking that God has may have millions of things. He may have what's going to happen ultimately is because his people prayed and asked. It may even be because we did. It may even be because you did. We don't know, but we do know this, that conditionals are all around us in the objective and subjective, and that may be pertaining to this. And if it is, God says, you ask it, I'll do it. And if you don't, I will not. Let's pray. If you don't know Christ, a conditional is, if you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth, God will save you. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's conditional. You have to call. Nobody can do that for you. You have to believe. You have to trust. But you have the absolute assurance that if you do that, not understanding everything that's involved, you can't figure it all out now. But by faith, you trust God. You said, if I believe, you'll save me. He will save you. You can have absolute confidence in that. Father, we thank you for your word, for your promises. and how you've constructed things. You've so constituted your world, and particularly our relationship with you, that you've made many, many things dependent upon our coming to you and being dependent upon you and asking, so that we can grow in our relationship with you and we can see your love on a daily basis, not just in the biggest of things, but even in those small things that in the scheme of things for the world, they're so small not even to matter. And yet we learn that they matter to you because we matter to you. We love you in Christ's worthy name.